Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Good Thursday afternoon, and happy May from your pals Grant and Danny. This here is The Fan, the flagship home of a Capitals team that is moving up and moving on. Montreal, thanks for playing. It took all of five games. It was calm by Caps playoff standards. A 4-1 win in the series. A 4-1 win in the game. A clincher on home ice for the first time in 10 years. We'll be talking about that. We've got a lot of Commanders news to get to on the field and as far as the stadium goes. And friend of the program. Dare I say best friend of the program.
Yeah, longtime pal.
The three best friends that anyone could have. The three best friends that anyone could have. Jason Wirth.
And we're never, ever, 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 ever going to part.
Is back with us today.
Yeah.
You go, why? Jason Wirth today? You guys had him on
a few
weeks?
I mean, it's always cool, but why?
Kentucky Derby in 2 days.
Derby.
Saturday is the Derby. In Kentucky, I believe, is where they have that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In Louisville. At Churchill Downs. Jason Wirth will be there. He's got a horse in the Derby for the second time in as many years, which is the craziest thing ever.
It's nuts.
So we'll talk to him about Flying Mohawk, the horse that he owns. That's coming up at 3 o'clock on Grant and Danny. I was in the barn last night. You were there pregame. You got a feel for the energy in the arena before you bounced. By the way, quickest exit of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I could not believe how fast you left. And there were multiple people that called attention to it, like listeners. Danny, by your standards.
I set a record.
I'm past the point of being offended by the lack of goodbyes.
Like I said bye. 100% said bye.
If you did, it was very quick and quiet. And
big wave, goodbye, big production, but I was already packed up to go.
So here's what happened. The show ended. I turned to Ryan and said, we breaking down now or do they come get the tables or what? Ryan answered my question. I turned back to my right and the door was closing. I didn't see you. Like you were gone. You were out the door. That was literally how fast. Headphones off. Listen to this. Hey, are we breaking down or are they going to give the tables or what do we do? Oh, no, we got to grab this and they'll come get the tables. Cool. Turns to my right. Door closes.
Door's closing.
Record. Danny Ruye
exit. Had to get out of there. 7 o'clock start for my little guy's soccer game. Made it, you know, just after kickoff. So we did a nice job.
Not as good as the Capitals.
No, they did a better job. Who'd they play in the first round again? It's been so long. They got dismissed so quickly. I barely even remember them. Montreal. Yeah. That's right. That's right. An inferior opponent got swatted to the side. This is a big deal, okay? Here's why it's a big deal. Who knows what happens against Carolina? They're favored. Betting odds have Carolina as the better team, more likely to go on and win a Stanley Cup than is Washington. I don't care about that right now.
This series is going to be grueling.
It's going to be a war.
Great budding rivalry. Of course, Carolina eliminated the Caps in 19. Lest we forget about 6 weeks ago when the two teams played a couple of games in the span of a week and there was a pretty dirty hit. There were fights. Connor McMichael got his head slammed on the ice. So Brandon Duhaime stepped up and beat up on a defenseman because of it. But there was a nice little back and forth. I had thousands of Canes fans in my mentions. This was in the regular season.
Yeah.
Because I said I didn't like Rod Brindamore. And now you fast forward a month and a half, Danny, and it's a playoff series with those guys.
Yeah, they were on a collision course.
This is going to be fun.
So there's a number of things that had to happen. And every Washington fan, with probably a couple exceptions, was thinking the same thing. Don't let this thing, talking about this first series, linger. don't make it 3-2. Then you got to wait three more days when you go back to Montreal. And who knows what happens in that loud building. And now the window's open, and now it's another discussion. Because the story has to be, it's irresponsible not to mention it, where they go, if you actually look at the series or the history of Washington Capitals in the postseason, here's what's happened. They lost this 2-1 lead against Pittsburgh, against the Rangers. This 3-1 lead against Montreal 10 years ago. And then this Penguins series, and this, and this, and this. You have to have those kinds of conversations. Nobody wants to have those kinds of conversations. I'm sorry, but that's required. As you're building up to what's happening if it's a long series. You don't make it a long series. Yes, step on the throat. And that's what happened. Montreal was frisky. That's a young team. They'll be around in the future, but not right now. Right now, they're going home or they're going to Tahiti or putting their feet up somewhere else, and that's fine and adorable. You needed to do what they did last night. The Capitals with that killer instinct, whatever you want to call that. Compliment to them for being ready to handle it. I mean, they got outshot 200-0 in the first few minutes, withstood the storm, battled back, and were the better team.
Well, the reason they withstood the storm, I think, largely was Alex Ovechkin's power play goal early. Because, as you said, the ice was tilted a little bit. And Logan Thompson, as he's done throughout this series, I thought made some really big saves late, but he made some really big saves early. 28 of 29 pucks he saw were stopped in Game 5. He finished the series with a 2.23 goals against average and a .923 save percentage. He was tremendous. He will go into the net every single game and give you a chance. And frankly, the team's going to go as far as he takes them at this point. And his excellence in the first round is why this series ended as quickly as it did. But to get the power play goal from Ovi to start, to breathe a little easy, so there's not that angst in the building with the crowd, and they don't all of a sudden, with that nervous energy, get more quiet. To get everybody behind you, to score first, to have Montreal grip the sticks a little tighter, playing a little bit more desperate, making a couple more mistakes, was such a big deal. And it was a clean win from Strome off the faceoff on the power play, straight back to Ovechkin, and the greatest shot in the history of the league by the greatest goal scorer in the history of the league gets you ahead 1-0 when you'd been outplayed. I think it was their second shot of the night.
Yeah, it was 8-2 at that point, 9-1, something like that.
And they were up 1-0. How many games has Washington been on the other side of where you've been the team with all the shots and all the chances, and then they get one opportunity on a power play and you're chasing the game a little bit, and now you're playing for your postseason lives? So that's what happened last night. Ovi gives them the early lead, and then they kept adding on. PLD made the amazing play behind the cage with a great pass to Jacob Chychrun. He scores a goal. They go up 3 all series long. Throughout their playoff lives in my lifetime, they have just struggled to get that next goal. When you have that lead and you can kind of step on a team's throat a little bit, you got to get the next one. And Tom Wilson was able to on the power play, 3-goal lead, so that when Montreal threw the kitchen sink at you in the third period and got their first and eventually only goal, you don't know it at the time, it's not 2-1, it's 3-1. The difference between 3-1 and 2-1 when you're sitting there in that building is the difference between putting your feet up or feeling like the Caps are about to lose. It's the difference between, and I only know this as a husband who's been in the hospital enough, it's the difference between pre-epidural and post-epidural before you have the baby, right?
That's like, a great comp.
I'm serious. My wife pre-epidural, I'm like, this is going to be the longest day of our lives. This is going to suck. And then she gets the epidural, and we're just in a hotel room on a vacation watching some TV until the baby gets there. That's the difference between 3-0 and 2-0, because when they score that next goal, you still feel okay. And I did. There was not a single moment last night where I thought they were going to lose after they went up 3-0. And you just got to kind of enjoy it in a way for Caps hockey we don't normally in the playoffs.
Yeah, there were still a couple times where I'm going, you know, when Montreal was, you know, on a whatever the shot run that they had there in the third period, and a couple times the Caps struggled to clear while Montreal was throwing everything at them. I'm going, well, if they score here, then there's whatever it was, 5 minutes left, and you know they're going to, empty the bench and go six attackers. But they withstood that storm. They were the better team. And that doesn't always happen in hockey. We know it. It's fickle. It's cruel. It's mean at times where, you know, if the puck doesn't bounce the way that it ended up doing it when it pinballs through to land right on Tom Wilson's stick for a quick reaction to beat the stick side. If that doesn't happen, then it's 2-1 and, you know, all the good fortune or bad fortune can go your way or against you. But because they were the better team and they're able to handle their business right now, get yourself a couple of days, feet up, get back on the ice, get ready for a battle. This Carolina series is going to be, not to be hyperbolic, but as fierce and combative as you can have.
You go from being a heavy favorite against Montreal, which understandably they should have been.
Rightfully so.
Size and physical advantage. To a decided underdog. You're not as big an underdog against Carolina, obviously, as the Canadiens were against you. The Caps are the one seed. They won the Metro. They were the better team in the division. Carolina was second. But from a betting standpoint, Carolina is the favorite. They are considered At one point in the last week, I know they had the best odds to win the Stanley Cup. I think they're top two still. I'd have to look that up. I haven't seen it this morning. But the idea from odds makers is they have a better chance to win this series and then go on to win the cup than Washington. But you have the home ice advantage, which is huge. You're going to be an underdog, according to the betting odds in game one. But if you can start fast and steal that game, now all of a sudden the 40 or so percent chance you're being given to win the series is 50 or up 1-0, probably better than that. And so who cares who the favorite is if you can go out and win game one of this series? But they'll need Logan Thompson to be awesome. And I just think they're going to have to play their best game. You could beat Montreal playing your B game.
Mm-hmm.
With a couple of bounces, you could probably beat them in a tight game overtime or something playing your C game. For a win against Carolina, you're going to have to earn everything, especially in their building. The idea would be you take your two at home, you go down there and find a way to win one, and you come back 3-1. That sounds great before the series starts. You're probably splitting here. You're probably splitting there, and this thing's probably destined for 6 or 7.
This is going deep, man.
But you just have to play your best hockey. But this was the call as heard last night right here on 106.7 The Fan from our guy John Walton.
Puck back for Savard. Back in net is Dobesh. Everyone standing here in the nation's capital. The Caps are moving on as the puck goes far wing. Chipped up in the air by Trevor Van Riemsdyk to the Montreal line. For the first time since 2018, the Capitals nail down a best-of-7 series. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Montreal. Logan Thompson and the Capitals are moving on to round two.
The building last night, by the end of the evening, was electric. The atmosphere, the pizzazz, the intensity was what you dream of for a sports environment. And kudos to Caps fans as always. I don't know about you guys that were at the game, or maybe even Danny for you at home, if you noticed this. Maybe, you know, you got back later than the start of the game, but mm-hmm. At the beginning of the game, I thought there was, I don't know if it was nerves or angst or what in the crowd. I thought it was way less energetic in the building than it was for games 1 and 2.
I agree with you.
But I wonder, too, if that had something to do with how the game was playing out. Like, remember, game one, the Caps dominated the first period, hit everything that moved, the first few shifts.
Yeah, I mean, they came out on fire in game one.
Yes.
And it was like a party.
Game two wasn't quite to the same extent, but they tilted the ice pretty early as well. I thought there was like a 6-7 minute sequence late in the first period where they had the most grade A, best looks, best chances, rushes they've had all series, where offensively they were amazing. But the first several minutes, I was kind of like, come on, this feels like a regular season game. Like, let's get it going. And as the game went on, as they scored some goals, as they delivered some big hits, people really got into it. But I had a blast. Could not have enjoyed myself anymore. Toby, I know you bought a last-second ticket to go to the game. You were sitting in the front row of the 400 level with beautiful center ice seats. What was it like up there?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was my first playoff hockey game, so I was really enjoying the atmosphere. It was a lot of fun getting to see the guys get going. There was some nervous energy in the crowd before they were able to finally net one, and there was still, we were talking about this before the show, there was still some nervous energy from people around you, even when they were up 2-0 and 3-0, just because of the heartbreak that we've seen for the Capitals in the past.
That's such a Caps thing, too, because I got some of this in me, I can say, but I certainly experience it with other people more than even what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
They're up 3-1 in the series. They're up 3-0 in the game. You can't do a whole lot better than that. And I get that there's context and nuance with it.
Sure.
But the results now are, you're on the precipice of advancing, and you're up 3-0. And it was still a little bit negative and nervous and worry-wordy. I mean, it was, I don't know if you heard some of the same things, but it's like, oh, we're terrible in the neutral zone. Oh, make that pass. Oh, Montreal's getting too many chances. And it's like, let's everyone just take a deep breath. They might have it. They do have a 3-goal lead. They have won 75% of the games in the series. Maybe we'll just give them a shot here to figure this thing out. It's going so terribly that they're up 3-0. But there was, it's just being a Caps fan, man.
Yeah.
You've just been on the wrong end too long.
Yeah, I mean, credit to the guy next to me. If they would have just listened to him, we would have had no problems. He was telling them everything they
needed.
He
knew what for, huh?
Yeah, he was helping us out.
Was his last name Carps?
It was, actually.
The tough one is the guy that yells shoot all the time. That's the thing that annoys me the most. There was a time in hockey, Hutier, where you wanted to shoot constantly. Mm-hmm. That was the name of the game. Who gets
pucks
more shots?
On the net, man?
Yeah, pucks on the net. Shoot it! Shoot the puck! Shoot the puck! We know more now. The number of shots, while not irrelevant, is not the story. You're looking for scoring chances. Yell scoring chances. Do that for me. Because
create scoring chances with creative play!
Right.
potential offensive grinding. Run the cycle.
It's harder. Here's how you score now.
Yeah.
You move the puck horizontally in the offensive zone. You have to get the goaltender moving and sliding across the crease. Goalies are so good. If they see the puck coming, they will stop it at a 98% clip or whatever. So just shooting the puck oftentimes is not correct. Now, if you have a bunch of traffic and you can get a redirect or a ricochet or something, good things can happen, pucks on net. I'm not saying I'd rather be on the defensive end. But this idea that as soon as you have the puck in the offensive end, just throw it at the goalie. Wrong. Set up something where you get the goalie moving. That's the high danger chance. That's the analytical now. And the Caps are great at this, by the way, when you look at some of the numbers here. But that's the name of the game in the NHL now. It's not just about a puck on the net like it once was. We've gotten smarter. We've learned. Maybe we need to update what we're screaming at them. But I'll give you just an example on data. Slot chances in this series, 85-61. Yell slot chance. That's what you're looking for. Rush chances, 2-on-1, you know, getting that 3-on-2,
sure, yeah.
Speed through the neutral zone, 40-26 for Washington.
Was it really that lopsided?
Oh, yeah. Everything, dude. The scoring chances in the series were astoundingly different.
Washington, so I would have guessed the rushes was the opposite way, mostly because Caps are control, they, you know, a save happens, and then Montreal's counterattack. That,
right.
That would have felt, I guess, because I have so much, it's like a, it's almost like a 3-for-1 for me, because
exactly.
When they get one, it feels so horrifying.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You're more nervous and sad and angry about the one you give up than the one you get.
Yep.
That it feels lopsided. Expected goals. So I'll tell you that the goals in the series were 18-12, and expected and actual goals are generally very close statistically. But with that in mind, that the Caps scored 18, that Montreal scored 12, what would you say the expected goals might have been?
20-10.
Very close. 20-14, right? But the point is, it's not just about shots. It's shot quality, and they got that. High danger shots on goal in this round. The Caps were third among every team, and the teams ahead of them played more hockey because they played overtime games and more minutes of hockey. Montreal was dead last. Mm. Of every team that has played in the playoffs, no team had fewer high danger shots on goal. So enough about shots, but that'll be the end of my TED Talk for now. But anyway, you hear that a lot, like, skate, shoot, like, you're engaged, I'm happy. You're wearing red, you're there, you're fired up.
You need to hand out a fact sheet to somebody, you know, just walk around.
It's probably not worth it. If you're there and you're making noise, you're my BFF totes.
Okay.
Like, we're in this thing together. So let's give each other a bear hug and hope for a win.
You know what we should do is print out what you just said and find all of the Canadians on vacation.
Okay.
Right? We're like, hey, man, I know you're relaxing in Barbados, but here's some information about the series. You guys had way less scoring chances than everyone thought. Have a nice one.
Let's get to our Caps Elite Player of the Game, presented by Elite Power and Energy Corporation. Let Elite Power and Energy install a backup generator for you and fill your propane tank so you don't lose power when the storm hits. 24/7, service complete and powerful solutions. Elite Power and EnergyCorp.com. Danny, Game 5, 4-1 win. Who was your elite player of the game?
Logan Thompson. Fantastic. They don't win without Logan Thompson. That it, towards the end of the game again, that snatch out of the air from a slot, from one of those danger chances that we're talking about from Montreal. I thought he was incredible all series, but I thought he was special last night, especially during that opening run where Montreal outshot Washington 1-0. I think they don't win that game without him. I don't think they win the series without him.
The numbers on this guy from the game do not look like his performance. I thought Connor McMichael was amazing. He was so fast. It felt at times like there were two of him on the ice. Three shots on goal, one assist, a +2, blocked a shot. He had four hits, which for him are like bumping into people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to Joan, but he's just not a physical guy.
He's not a big fella.
I thought Connor McMichael was amazing. He's my elite player of the game. But we wanted to give you guys an opportunity. Generally, we break the game down. We keep it moving. They want a series, and we want to hear from you. We'll open up the listener lines on this at 800-636-1067. So we could paint with a broad brush first, just your thoughts on the five-gamer with Montreal, the matchup with Carolina. But we want to know who your elite player of the series was, presented by Elite Power and Energy Corporation. So who would you give your star of the series, 800-636-1067, and then I want a sleeper star. Maybe not the best player in the series, but a guy that was really good that isn't getting any love. You can do that on the phones next. The Capitals are moving on. It's a good time to be a DC sports fan. We're Grant and Danny on May 1st with our team still alive, unlike those fellas and ladies up in Montreal. You're listening to The Fan.
Dominating right circle, Suzuki. Low now to Demidov. Side of the net, in front. One-timer from Suzuki, knocked out and kept to the outside. Demidov continues. 1:38 left, and a glove save made by Logan Thompson.
It's huge. I mean, no game in this league is ever easy, and, you know, it's even harder once you get to playoffs. So, you know, honestly, I think, you know, neither one of those games could have gone either way, right? So the series could be could have been different. So, again, you tip your hat to them. That's a well-coached team and a lot of potential over there.
That's Logan Thompson giving the Canadians some love. Danny, you said this. I want to double down. That is a really talented young team.
Yep.
They picked first. They picked third in recent years. They've been brutal for the last few seasons since their deep run about four seasons ago. And they're going to be a handful, and they just need more experience. We saw this with the Caps when they were very young and made the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
You get outclassed, you go up against someone bigger and more physical, who's more experienced, and you make some mistakes. But they were a pain in the butt. Like, that's a 4-1 series, and the margins in this league aren't that big anyway. But one of those wins is in overtime. You know, a couple of the lopsided games were empty net goals that were scored. It was basically, until Game 5, one-goal games in the wins throughout the series. So I give them all the credit. High marks. Watched the handshake line last night. I'm always curious to see after a long series, and this one wasn't that long, but you know, Tom Wilson was a marked man, and they had so many little cheap shots and chippy things against him. What's that look like? And he had some really long, good embraces with some of their guys. But you could tell there was some respect and some reverence that they earned.
Oh, yeah.
The Caps' admiration as that thing went on.
You know what it reminded me of? And I don't know, it's not exactly analogous, but that young Bullets team with Howard and Weber and Strickland and all those guys, when they went up against the Bulls. I'm not saying the Caps are the Bulls, but you see my point. When the Bulls were better, that was obvious. It was clear from the jump, but it was one of those, damn, that wasn't a cakewalk. That wasn't as much fun as we would have liked to have had. We would have liked to have guys with our feet up. We'd like to have guys, you know, dominated this series, and it didn't go that way. The Bulls won it because they were way better, but that was one of those, okay, hey, tip of the cap, and to your point, kind of that handshake line.
Grant and Danny's poll of the day today, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long-distance, residential, commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. We're asking you on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account right now who your number one star of the series was. 68% of you are saying Logan Thompson, the netminder. 14% saying Dylan Strome. By the way, he had 9 points. Nobody else on the team had more than 5 points in the series. Stromer, fourth right now in the NHL in points this postseason.
Attaboy.
Through just 5 games. Could not have been better. Ovi scored 4 goals. He's getting 12% of the vote. And then Connor McMichael, who had 3 goals in the series, getting 4% of the vote. So you can go vote right now on Twitter at 106.7 The Fan. It is our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. An opportunity for you guys to hop in on the phones at 800-636-1067. The Caps are moving on. Let's go to JR in Boston on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's up? Listen, this series was great and encouraging. Like, I know I'm a hater. I've been down on the Caps at times, but they came out 4 of the 5 games and, like, dominated. Like, I was a little concerned because throughout this entire season, they don't have the killer instinct. How many games did they go by 2 goals and they, like, teams back into it? They went up 2-0, and then they had, you know, they decided in Game 3 that we should come out and, like, you know, give them their first 4 goals. It was insane how bad they played that. But, like, for having to come back and then to start off the way they did, but then finish as a team, like, Logan Thompson playing out of his mind, but the team came through and finished in Game 5. When was the last time, even through, like, when they won the Stanley Cup, did you see them actually dominate and work their way through a game instead of, like, I'm encouraged to go, and I'm dying to know, knowing that they have the skill, they have the depth, they have the coaching and clearly the goaltending. What is your expectations? What is a healthy expectation finish for this team? That's what I want to hear from you guys.
Yeah. So
thank you, bud.
Look, hockey postseason is so quirky that my answer is probably not going to give you the meat on the bone you want. I think it is utterly unpredictable. One of the reasons that I have been one of the calmest people in the DC media largely about many of the early exits and only having one conference finals appearance during this era and only the one cup is, I think hockey is a silly game played on ice, and I think weird things happen. And in a way where I will hold teams accountable in other sports where you dictate more of the result, it's not necessarily that way in hockey. Now, if you play a bad game, I'll call you on it. If your energy's not there inexplicably in the postseason, if you make terrible mistakes or have awful giveaways like they did in a really bad defensive Game 3 in Montreal, you're going to draw my ire. But largely speaking, when you play a pretty quality series, when you tilt the ice and you get more shots and more chances and you lose hockey games because you had a puck going off of a defensive player's skate or whatever, I'm just not that upset as I am in other sports. So I say all that to tell you, I got no clue what's going to happen. I think Washington playing its best game is a little bit better than Carolina playing its best game. That's what I think. The only time they've really had problems this regular season with the Canes was on the second night of back-to-backs on the road at their building. Otherwise, they had success. They were the better team in those matchups, and they won. I get why the Hurricanes are favored. Absolutely, I do. I had more confidence that Carolina was going to advance in five or fewer against Jersey than I did Washington with Montreal, and I think that's what the odds makers are looking at. There's a history here, clearly. The Caps are an older team, which oftentimes means you wear down a little bit sooner in the playoffs. But my question to answer your question would be, number one, how does Logan Thompson play in this series? If he plays at the same level he just did, they win the series. He just had a .925 save percentage and made some ridiculous stops. He's the better goalie in the series. If so facto, you win the thing. And do they play their best game? Because if they come out and they play four A versions of their game and a couple B games, I think in a seven-game series, they beat Carolina. But if you tell me they only find their A game twice and it's a couple of B games and then three C games, you probably lose in seven. But I have a hard time predicting the NHL playoffs. I probably will pick, if I need to, Carolina in seven maybe. But I think the best version of the Caps is better than the best version of the Canes. You just got to find your game. And I trust Spencer Carberry to get the guys there.
Yeah, I think he pushes all the right buttons, says the right things, does everything. It's just, to me, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit shell-shocked from how well I saw Carolina play when we played them. I know they didn't finish with as many points, and you know, they struggled down the stretch for a couple times, you know, as the Capitals were sort of on cruise control heading into the postseason. They're favored for a reason, I think, kind of to your point. So my hope is that you get out of this series, you win it, and then, you know, then as you said, it's up to the fates, up to the gods, whatever you want to call it, hockey, puck luck, mojo, whatever. It wasn't the best Caps team that won the Stanley Cup. Same way it wasn't the best Nats team on paper that won the Stanley Cup. So who knows about that? To me, this is kind of what I wanted. This reminds me of those times before they won the Stanley Cup where I'm going, I just need you to get further than you've been. Losing in the second round, while incredible that you have this run where you're always there, and I'd rather you be there than not, it's just, it's hard for me to get excited about anything when we're going to lose to Pittsburgh in round two or when you're going to lose to the Rangers or whatever. They've kind of done the thing that they haven't done in 6 years for me, right? Where they go, you're out of the first round. It's not the same as it was. They might lose to a better team right here. So I know it sounds like loser talk maybe to some. Obviously, pulling like hell for them. It's going to be crushing to lose to a team that I hate if that does happen in Carolina. I think if I had to make a pick, probably say Canes win in seven games. But is it absolutely possible and even plausible, even fairly likely that Washington emerges victorious? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that they can win every single game against Carolina. And if that's the case, then you can absolutely win the series. And I think this will be arguably the toughest opponent they play in the Eastern Conference. For whatever reason, as good as I think Florida is, I think Washington matches up better with them. They tend to score a lot of goals against Florida, against a pretty respected goaltender, oh, by the way. But this year, for the record, for people that are wondering, Carolina and Washington played four times. They always do. The Canes won two of the four games and got points in three of the four. The Capitals won the first game 4-2. That was way back in the first week of November. Mm-hmm. Almost irrelevant to me at this point. You're talking about the early weeks of the season. They played once just before Christmas, and in that game, the Canes won 3-1. And again, so early in the year, I'm just not sure how much I care about that necessarily. But in the two most recent games, which were at the very end of the season, April 2nd and April 10th, the Capitals got a 5-4 win in a shootout, which was a game in which they came back and got some late goals, and they got beat 5-1 pretty handily, like just dismantled.
Yeah, it was a throttling, yeah.
And that was one of their worst games of the year, remember, when they started fighting everybody in the third period. Mm-hmm. You were upset because they kind of were just getting blown out and said, all right, we're taking a
pound
of
flesh. Let's swing some, yeah.
But they didn't like a couple of the hits. But yeah, they got completely destroyed. I think that's what you're thinking about when you think about the matchup. I just think that was one night on a back-to-back that probably doesn't have a lot of relevance going into this series. Annie's in Alexandria, wants to hop in and talk about the Caps after their series clincher. What's up, Annie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I would like to say that Dylan Strome, I know, Grant, you just mentioned, but I think he had 9 points throughout the series. He obviously had that great clean face-off win there was one play where he like dished it high up and basically forced the goalie to cover, and that led to offensive face-off zone in a crucial part. I just think he has high IQ and can see the play before like the develop. As
so true.
Like, you're 100% right.
My star.
He makes the right decision all the time in the offensive zone. Do you realize in their first three games, they're game winners, which came late, right? So it was obviously an overtime game winner for Ovi.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the game winner in Montreal with 4 minutes left from Monge. He had the primary assist on all three of those goals. Whether it's dropping a pass and leaving it behind him in the O zone for Mangiapane to bang it home, whether it's finding Ovechkin with an awesome pass in overtime. 9 points, by the way, in five games. Only McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Kempe have more in the postseason right now. In addition to that, he had the best five-game stretch by a Capitals player in terms of points to start a postseason that we've seen in this era. Second best behind, I think it was, I got to think of who it was that I saw. Maybe Kote, I think, maybe. I have to look it up. But there was a Capital in like 89-90 that had a better stretch of five games to start a postseason. That's it, other than Stromer this year. So the way he's playing, if you wanted to make him your elite player of the series.
No issue with that.
I got nine reasons why that makes sense. 9 points.
He was fantastic. I mean, to me, he's going to be tested again in this round. Full 200-foot game. You got to be accountable defensively. You've got to make the right play all the time. I mean, when he's right, and he's right right now, there's a lot of Backstrom to his game to me, right? Where it's the always under control, always head up, always the right pass. He's just such a solid, always make the right decision type player. Right? Never trying to do something where it's like, you know, if there's a moment where it requires something fancy, the saucer pass or some fancy footwork or stick handling, he'll do it. But it's not one of those, he's going to try it and then all of a sudden it's a 3-on-1 rush the other way because he tried to be a little too frisky. Just making the right call all the time. You play solid, you end up with some pretty good results.
I owe an apology. It was a Hall of Famer who I was sleeping on. And it's a guy I can only say his name as if I was Craig Lachlan. Dino Ciccarelli, Joby.
Oh, it's Dino.
Dino had more points than Dylan Strome. So give me your Caps elite player of the series from Elite Power and Energy Corporation.
Logan Thompson. I mean, to me, I thought he was spectacular. The one game where it wasn't spectacular, they ended up losing, but I think withstood so many of those desperate Montreal rushes, whether it was in the third period of game one, whether it was, frankly, the third period of game two, the onslaught to start this one. They don't win this series the way that they did without him in my mind.
So I'm going to be a hipster, as I am wont to do with the National Hockey League. I'm going to go Trevor Van Riemsdyk as my sleeper. I thought he was just sneaky awesome defensively. A couple of mistakes, but you're always going to be able to find those over five games from a blue liner. But I thought mostly he was great. And actually, Carbs singled him out in front of the team last night in the dressing room after the game. And then I would say, you know who was so good in this series was Matt Roy. Another defenseman that you never notice because he's just a stay-at-home guy. Kind of like a younger Brooks Orpik type almost. Not as physical, but just never going to help you offensively very much. And because of that, there's not going to be a lot of Roy number three sweaters floating around the arena. But damn if he's not important. And I just thought circuit to circuit in this series, when he was on the ice, I felt good. I was comfortable because he's out there and he's going to make the right decision. I thought they had a few defensemen like that. Alexiev stepping up for Ferravari.
How about the little stick handle for a scoring chance down low from Alexiev? I'm going, okay.
Who took Sandin in our draft yesterday?
Topes.
I joned on them. He had three shots on the cage in the first 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He was activating. He was in the rush. I'm more on the Caps as we go. Remember, Jason Wirth, who's always a 10 out of 10, is going to be with us coming up in 20 minutes to talk about the Derby. He's got a horse running in 2 days in Kentucky. So looking forward to talking to J-Dub, who's our best friend. We've gone from
long-time pals,
whatever the opposite of that is,
adversaries,
to being the closest you can possibly be with a radio guest. But next, NFL Power Rankings dropping from NFL.com. Where do they have the Commanders? You might like that. This is The Fan.
I am so happy for all of you Washington football fans. You have waited essentially 25 years for this. 25 years to be able to get excited about the direction of your franchise. That is the only sport they care the most about in Washington. They talk about politics and they talk about the Washington football team. I am thrilled that they actually have something positive to talk about.
How about Ross Tucker, our guy who's on the show with us regularly, former Redskin many, many years ago for a short time. I first met him when I was out there doing interviews as a kid. He was on the Steve Spurrier team.
Yes, that's right.
In the early 2000s. But he's on Good Morning Football this morning on NFL Network, getting a little push. I like that for Ross Tucker. I made some headlines, too, among other things, saying that Shedeur Sanders no-showed a production meeting for a college football game he called.
How about that?
That made the rounds. The kind of thing that just, when you act like that, it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. You're allowed to do it. I see all the comments are, not a big deal. Media takes themselves too seriously. Cool. Good for you. When you do things that are unprofessional, people view you as maybe not being a great professional. And so you do enough of those things, it's going to hurt you. And it clearly did during draft time. But we can get to that later in the show. I bring up Ross Tucker talking about the Commanders today because they unveiled their NFL power rankings, 32 down to 1. And Danny, they've got the Commanders all the way up to 6 coming out of the NFL draft. The teams ahead of them are the Detroit Lions, who they beat in the playoffs, the Buffalo Bills, over in the AFC, who have been flirting with Super Bowl contention, but unable to punch through the AFC Championship and the Chiefs. Kansas City sliding down to 3. Everybody's favorite offseason Tiger every year. They're always about to win the Super Bowl. The Baltimore Ravens are 2. And then the Philadelphia Eagles, your defending champions, with Jalen Hurts coming off of another masterpiece in the biggest game of his career, are number 1. But Washington sitting at 6.
Does that seem high? Or is it just simply because, hey, they're in the NFC title game, and we sort of now think that that's the level?
All right, so here's what I would say to that. If my answer is yes, that means I have to move them below some of the teams behind them.
This, you just did the move that I was about to do. So my point is, right behind him is Tampa Bay, the Rams, Packers, Vikings. I think you could shuffle any of those teams up and make them 6 through 10. And I think you could quibble about one over another. Vikings won 14 games last year. Now they're handing things over to J.J. McCarthy. Green Bay Packers, I thought, had a pretty solid draft for a team that was on the rise last year. If Jordan Love's healthy, The Rams, aging. It's Stafford kind of riding into the sunset. But still, they gave the Eagles their best shot. That was the team that was the closest to beating them in the snow on the road.
I'll go further than that. They would have beaten Philly if it wasn't snowing.
I think that's fair.
They were slipping and sliding and dropping passes, and they had them on the brink, and there was a basically a blown blitz pickup on the interior.
A bad fumble in there, too.
By a young offensive lineman. Yeah, Kyron Williams put a ball on the carpet at one point. They would have beaten the Eagles in that game if it was played in L.A. or in any neutral site dome. It wasn't, so it doesn't matter. But I could see putting the Rams ahead of Washington. I have a hard time moving anyone else ahead of them. The Bucs right behind them, the Commanders beat in the playoffs. They're fine. I don't think they're great. The 8 is the Rams. I'm moving them up. The Packers, they're probably comparable to Washington, but it's like watching a replay and saying you need definitive evidence, right? I need irrefutable proof to have an issue with Washington at 6 that somebody should be above them. Who are you arguing for? The Broncos, who were 11? The Vikings, who were 10, as you said, turning it over to McCarthy, who hadn't taken a snap? The Bengals at 12, whose defense is basically 11 guys from our studio handpicked? Nah. I think 6 is about right now.
Yeah, I think it's all fair. And again, a Minnesota homer could say, hey, they're so well built. McCarthy's going to be just a conductor. He's going to make sure the ball goes to all the right places. They'll play great defense and be frisky. Would you really want to see them right now? Who knows? Tampa Bay, always banged up, but when healthy, they're pretty tough. So the point is, that's the right range for me. And that's I'm not used to that. I'm used to every time Washington jumps up and has done something. Now, forget about this regime in this past year, but bear with me. Every time they've gone to the postseason, it was the 4-game winning streak or the 5-game. And forget about the much larger sample. It's they did this incredible thing, and now people think of them, this is where they are now. And they were never able to sustain anything. This group hasn't yet, but it feels like, talking about this regime, coaching staff, players, etc., they've got something sustainable here. So whether they're 6th or 8th or 7th or 11th, the point is, they are above the threshold of there's going to be a you know, they're going to pull the plug in the drain, and they're going to start sinking back down into the mire and the muck with everybody else. They are legit.
More on the Commanders in just a bit. By the way, the Nats are in action tonight. They're in Philly. You can hear the game right here on The Fan at 6:45. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler on the call. They got to get a win at Citizens Bank Ballpark, or they're going to get swept by the Phillies. Brad Lord on the mound this evening. Speaking of the Nats, legend Jason Wirth, who's got a horse running in the Derby in 2 days, joins us next on Grant and Danny.